Hello and welcome back to Couplecast Podcast. This is number 7, nearly 2 months.
Long time.
This episode we're going to be talking about a bit about Stonehenge, histories, conspiracy theories.
Why are we talking about Stonehenge?
Oh, I wonder. On Friday, when you listen to this, probably gone.
Way gone.
Definitely gone. Friday coming up after we record and upload this, we're going to see Stonehenge for the first time. We've both never seen, never been.
Yep, only just watched on Ancient Aliens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And other bits and bobs.
That makes it sound like we're only going because aliens.
Hmm.
We're not.
It's one of the most thingiest sites in the world.
They're one of the most ancient sites in England, I think. We'll talk about that later anyway. I probably should have thought more about my battery on this podcast. Ryan, do you want to go get me the portable charger and lead cable?
Okay, you start with your life update then, I guess.
Okay, so a life update. So Ryan's probably got way more than me. My only life update is...
Where's the...
Oh, 2 seconds.
Where's the...
A lead is just in there, connected to one of the charging plugs. Anyway, life update. I got an interview on Tuesday for a new company. Still haven't heard back from the first one. Hoping to hear back from them soon. It's a very small company, the one I've got an interview for. Don't know how the interview is going to go. No idea. Exams start in about a week and a couple of days for me. So I've been revising for that. Sorry, I'm really tired all of a sudden. What else? I was going to say something and I forgot.
Did you say we're going for our 5-year
anniversary? Oh yeah, we're going to Stonehenge for our 5-year anniversary, but I thought we could talk more about that at the end of the life updates when we go on to the main topic.
Yes.
There was something I was going to say and I completely forgot what, because I was trying to help you. You go on to your life updates while I think
about it. Okay, so life updates for me. Still no word back from interviews. I've had one more interview. I think it went all right. Possibility of a second interview. Well, that's like the next stage.
Yeah.
Obviously, they'll have to get back to me for that. I don't know if I liked the job, to be honest. Like, he wasn't really enthusiastic about it or anything.
Yeah.
He didn't really sell it to me, but...
Oh, what I was going to say... Yeah. Well, I had in my notice at work, so hopefully I'll no longer be working in retail when I come back from holiday after uni. But never know, I had to leave either way because they have to find a replacement for me because I can't stay on no matter what, just because it's just not enough hours. After I finish uni, I can't. There's no excuse for me just to work weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
I just need to work full time no matter what it is, even if I work in retail for 2 months or
and
something.
And they don't have their hours for full time, so.
Yeah. There's I'd have one extra shift a week, most, if I was lucky. Yeah.
She was
3 days a week.
Charlie's manager was like, oh yeah, if you did want to stay, I've got more hours for you or something like that. And it was 3 extra shifts a month.
No, yeah, she was even if you were to stay on one extra month, we've got overtime for that month because a couple of people are away. And I was counting on the extra shifts, and I got a total of 3 extra shifts in 1 month. And I was like... No, I think that was in 5 weeks. It wasn't even 1 month. I was counting extra because I was like, there's got to be more. When's she going away?
Yeah.
But I'd literally get 5 overtime. 3 days overtime in 5 weeks, I mean.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. I could work full time.
Other life update for me. My exam started, 6 days ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah. 5 days
ago. I don't know.
So, yeah, I thought that exam went really bad. There was a couple of questions where I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, let's tell them about how bad you think it went.
I don't know, it was just crazy because over the past 3 years, lecturer put, what?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something different, go on.
Anyways, the lecturer put the previous exam questions up or whatever. And for the past 3 years, these things came up consistently. Three subjects came up consistently. And they were the main ones I revised. Four answers, I knew it.
Mm.
And I go into the exam and only one comes up. and three like random things come up. And yeah, but somehow, so, well, go on.
What I was gonna say is every exam Ryan's ever had in our whole 5 year, I was gonna say in our whole anniversary, in our whole 5 year relationship, any exam, in our whole 5 years, any exam he has, he's like, oh, I did terrible, it's going to be the worst grade ever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always like, no, it won't, I'm sure it went fine, you're so dramatic. And he's like, no, no, I promise you, this time it's going to be terrible. And he gets a result back, and it's always good. Always. And this time, he come back on Tuesday after his exam, he's like, worst exam I've ever done. It's literally terrible,
that's
nothing
how
come
I feel
up.
In the moment, though.
I swear, I promise this time, I was like, no, you're a liar. He's like, yeah, it's like the boy who cried wolf, you're not going to believe me, but when I get my grade, like, you'll see how bad I did.
Yeah.
And he got his grade back on Friday. They got it back to him really quickly.
Literally 3 day turnaround, the quickest I've ever seen the exam back.
And what did you get? Like 59%?
59, which...
which is basically
so some people might not sound like the greatest, but I only needed 47 in the exam to get a 2-1 overall in that unit.
Yeah.
So it's much better than that. And I also thought I might actually get 30 marks on this exam. I felt that bad about it.
And
but
you
that
got
probably
double.
Is. That probably is the worst, how bad I felt about it. Like the worst one I've ever done. Because I went in there and I was like, these three questions. There was four questions. One was a good one that I knew. Half of one was a calculation that was easy. The other 2.5 were ridiculous. Like, I barely wrote half a page for each of them. And somehow I got that overall.
I just thought it was hilarious because I was like, no, I'm sure you did fine. Like, he got his grade back and it was good.
We
and
like
I was
high-fived
like,
and I was like, oh my God.
I was
so
like,
happy.
I love being right. I knew it wasn't. Yeah. But like, I can't ever believe you now. You do understand
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, I understand, but... there will come a time, like even for this next exam I've got on Tuesday, it's been the hardest unit throughout the year, even though I've went to every single lecture for it.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be ridiculously hard.
But
and
5 years.
I'll just not tell you how well I think that one goes then.
For 5 years you said they go bad and I don't
but
think
but maybe
you've
that's
ever
the thing,
correct.
If I say they go bad, then maybe they go good. So maybe I should say they go bad. But then... if I then say that like I just have now, then that might jinx it. But
it's like when I revise for exams, I do really bad in them, and the exams I don't have time to revise for, I do best in.
Yeah, that's just like ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. I don't know how it happens, but it does.
But yeah, that's
my common sense is better than a textbook currently.
That's the updates. So yeah, I have exam in 2 days, less than 2 days.
And then we're going to Stonehenge on the Friday.
So in, what, 6 days or something? And then I have one last exam next Monday.
And then mine start the day after yours. And then I've got 1 week of exams and then we're done uni forever. So that's coming fast and quick and can we...
mm-hmm. And dissertation results will be back in, yeah, like a week as well, hopefully. Or
a
2 weeks.
A week and a bit, yeah. Well, for me, it's a week and a bit.
Yeah, mine's like 2 weeks. So yeah, let's get on to Stonehenge.
So, do you want to start off? Because you found some stuff about the history I was just looking for.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, we've seen some stuff about Stonehenge before. We know it's interesting and stuff like that. But obviously, because we're going, we're like, it'll be better to find out more about it.
Yeah, because we thought if we find out some, even if they're not true stories or whatever,
yeah,
it's just interesting to know what people think about it and their theories, because no one, it's not really proven what it is. People have a lot of theories, but we thought this episode we can do like the histories and theories of it
and conspiracies of it,
and then next week we can give our review on the day.
So I basically got all of the history from different places, but it's all this might be the like half interesting bit of the podcast. Okay. I don't know where to start because I never really laid it out good, to be honest.
Well, you should have laid it out in order of what you want to say, really.
Yeah, I know.
Ley lines, leave that till last. You've got a whole bit that says ley lines.
Yeah, but below that I have like just random.
Because I've wrote a bit about ley lines. Sorry, guys. I don't know how we can spend so much time preparing for a podcast, but it's still not prepared.
Okay, I'll just start from what I've got. It's not in order. Okay.
Don't just read off that though. Just like sub.
How?
Paraphrase.
How?
You always just read off the.
Okay, in the 1800s, like loads of different stones were propped up with timber poles. Like, this is what Stonehenge is known for now. Like, they were propped up with timber poles because a lot of them have, like, fallen over and stuff like that. And in the 1900s, one of the outer sarsen stones, they're called, fell. So the owner at the time, with the help of the Society of Antiquaries, organised the re-erection of the leaning tallest, whatever that is called, Trilithophon.
The big stone.
Yeah, the big stones. But yeah, so basically there's been like lots of different work on the actual Stonehenge. Like some have fallen over, some have slanted and stuff like that, but still there's that.
Huh? Got really nice.
Yeah. Professor Mike Parker Pearson found evidence that the stones used to create Stonehenge were first used in a different monument in Wales, which was, I'm pretty sure that was like a recent discovery, maybe in 2011, I haven't written it down, but before that they, because some of the stones were actually only from nearer, like much nearer to that, like only like really close, and they're like, oh, like most things must be from there or whatever.
Yeah, because they're really big stones.
Yeah, so it's like, that's a long way to move.
Yeah, Wales to...
Some of them are like 25 tons.
Actually, let's look on a map, because realistically...
Yeah, but with Wales, no transport.
No, I know.
Or whatever. Not no transport.
People go on months worth of hikes. Like, it's not that
no,
far.
No, do walking.
No, but I want to say, is Bristol not in...
That's a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, but is Bristol not in Wales?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, anyway.
46-hour walk. 46 hours is what? Like 2 days of full walking with no sleep. So 3 days they could
be. Yeah, I don't know, but because they're such massive stones, it would have caused.
And
problems.
That's like proper central Wales. That's not like it's Cardiff Wales, or yeah. anything. Yeah. Cardiff's really close.
Okay, archaeologists use various techniques, including radiocarbon dating on workers' campfires from millennia ago, to discover that holes cut into rocky outcrops to gather the stones were made centuries before Stonehenge was built. So that's saying that the holes were dated between 3400 and 3200 BC, but Stonehenge was only created in Wiltshire around 2900 BC. So there's a lot of things in the area of Stonehenge what are from various different dates. There was, one of the stones, actually, one of the largest stones, has been there for millions of years.
Millions?
That's what someone
was
said.
Was it original then? Is that they come along, they saw this big stone, they're like, do you know what? That stone needs some friends.
Yeah. The name, like, a henge, simply refers to a circular or roughly oval-shaped ditch within... an external bank. So the actual henge of Stonehenge is much older than the stuff around it. The blue stones, the first stones to arrive at Stonehenge, are thought to have been rearranged at least four times within a period of about 400 years between 2400 and 2000 BC.
So for 400 years they were like, that don't like quite yeah. look right, let's
that
move
don't look
it.
Right. Let's move it.
This you know, that's actually really interesting, because I can make a theory out of that based on some of the other theories that come later. Or shall I start talking about theory?
Or do it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about it in a bit, because this is all the history. The first arrangement was thought to be two concentric semicircles. Yeah, so that's not what it looks like at the moment. It's actually like full circles.
Yeah.
It's a circle within a circle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can only, like, I don't really, yeah.
That's amazing. I don't really know.
Yeah, Mike Pitts is the archaeologist that excavated within Stonehenge and found the evidence that the two of the largest Sarsen stones have been there for millions of years. Well, it's crazy. There are two types of stones used at Stonehenge, the larger Sarsens and the smaller blue stones, and there are 83 stones in total. Which, looking at it from like just pictures, I thought, oh, there's probably like 30 stones there. I never really thought it, how,
yeah, how I big guess. It was. Let's see a picture, shall I count?
There are also, there's a circle of 56 pits known as Aubrey Holes, named after John Aubrey, who identified them in 1666. What's crazy? 666, I'm joking. Sits inside the enclosure. Its purpose remains unknown, but some believe the pits to once held stones or posts. So that could say that it was even bigger than originally thought as well. It could have, because some of the stones are actually quite smaller.
Well, this is a picture of what they originally thought it looked like, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen different pictures.
Oh, God. Yeah. Carry on.
What else? Interesting fact, Stonehenge was actually bought at an auction in 1915, and it was purchased for £6,600.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy it for that.
1915, by a local businessman named Cecil Chubb. Yep. Who reportedly, in brackets, reportedly came to the auction to buy some dining chairs.
He would buy some expensive dining chairs if he thought these rocks will do.
Yeah, I feel like that is completely made up. That's why they put reportedly. 3 years later, after buying it, Chubb gave the monument to the nation to be cared for by the Ministry of Works. A series of major restorations and excavations took place from 1919 to 1929, and another major program between 1958 to 1964. The first guidebook for Stonehenge claimed it survived Noah's flood, and it was written by Henry Brown and published in 1823 based on a biblical view of history.
Well, yeah, in the 1800s you'd expect everyone believed in the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, it survived Noah's flood. He knew it was that old.
Ley lines. A number of ley lines crisscross in the centre of the Stonehenge. Ley lines are a natural magnetic phenomena that cross the countryside. Ancient monuments often are sighted at the intersection of such ley lines.
Yeah, so basically ley lines are all over the globe. They're imaginary lines, but they are lines of magnetic fields that have been proven to exist. And they just happen to run across some of the world's largest landmarks. Like, they run directly through the Great Pyramids. They run directly through Easter Island and stuff like that. Like, big
all these sites.
Machu Picchu. Like, literally, they run right through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all it's crazy. We wanna go. So, there's lots of UFO sightings over the site, over Stonehenge. I've already forgotten what it's called.
Circle stones.
Yeah, so so basically Stonehenge is at the centre of a network of lines.
Yeah.
So it's right in the centre and loads of ley lines come out of it. Mm-hmm. So they believe that there's like a lot of magnetic energy there. And this is like why people see a lot of UFOs, because there's so much energy that they think like aliens are using it to harness power. So extraterrestrials are coming down and being like, oh no, I've run out of petrol.
Yeah.
Let me use Stonehenge. But I thought where it says rearrange at least four times within periods 400 within 400 years between, maybe it's because they were trying to work out the correct way to harness the power. No, because like maybe they were in a certain way and it was like, oh, we're not quite getting the power that we want. So they had to be rearranged. You never know. Back then, they might have... Because, ancient alien theory would suggest, like, that...
But how...
That people or aliens aided the work of building the landmark for a purpose.
Yeah.
So if that theory was correct, aliens told them how to build it and they were like, no, you're slightly off, move that rock a bit over there and that will help garner more power.
Mm.
So maybe that's why they would move so many times.
But how do people know that there are ley lines? Say, like, in 2,000 years ago, how would they know there's ley lines?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what their knowledge was 2,000 years ago.
No, that's what I'm saying, but obviously all these sites were built on these ley lines.
I know, which is a coincidence.
How would they even know if this magnetic...
Okay, and that's what ancient alien theorists say. I can't speak today. They say that aliens, obviously, they had the knowledge to know that these, like, what are they called? These landmarks, they knew where the ley lines were, so they were like, if you build this landmark here, it will generate power. Because people also think the Great Pyramid, their purpose was to harness power.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, they would say the aliens aided them. I don't particularly know. Yeah. It could just be a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, I just don't really know how...
But it's just all the biggest landmarks on the world... fall on ley lines, and all the most powerful, the ones that people believed were used for energy, like the Great Pyramids, are at the centre of a network, not just run through one ley line, they're at the centre of a network.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Great Pyramids are at the centre of a network, I think. You can't quote me on this because I could just be making this up, but I'm pretty sure,
yeah,
like Machu Picchu and stuff like that is at a centre, a network of them.
Yeah, okay, I've got to go back to the history because I was thinking, because we created the Word document and we like put stuff on it, but I was writing it down before, so I was like, oh, I'm definitely missing something. But yeah, Stonehenge, perhaps one of the world's most, world's most famous prehistoric monument, and it was built in several stages. The first monument, what's likely the henge or whatever, was built about... 5,000 years ago, unique stone circle erected in late Neolithic period, 2500 BC. Like these are the stages.
So this is the timeline, yeah.
And then the Bronze Age burial mounds were built nearby, so it seems like it was just like a hub. But it's like, it's so weird that there's 2,500 years before that, or like after that, and people are like, oh, this still is a place for like importance, and then it's like, oh, let's like bury people here as well.
And let's add to it. Yeah, people must have visited it. But it's crazy that...
No, wait, one more. The earliest known structures in the area are 4 to 5 pits holding, which could have held large totem-like poles, which are from 8,500 to 7,000 BC.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's old.
That's what I'm saying. That's 3,000, 4,000 years before the first monument. So it's like, how do people keep on coming back to these things?
Yeah.
Like, and if it is the ley lines, how do people 8,000 years ago know that ley lines were there?
That's crazy.
Like, come on.
That's what the extraterrestrial theory is, the ancient alien theory. But then people always say that you don't know what knowledge they had because it was all lost over time. These people could have had this masses of knowledge and something could have happened to wipe it all out. Like, there could have been... Obviously, this is just me I'm literally making something up. But for all we know, there could have been a president of the world that was like, look, we're ruining the planet, destroy everything, and then we're going to live like... cavemen again, and then they go back to living like cavemen, and then we have to start again, and maybe one day we'll figure out that we're destroying the planet and we have to destroy everything
the thing
we made.
Is like if you think 8,000 years ago, no, but that's 8,000 BC, so that's basically 10,000 years ago.
That's a 2,000 year
Yeah, but it's just kind of confusing because obviously in 10,000 years a lot can happen. Like you said, oh, there could have been a president of blah. But if you think how old the actual world is...
It's such a small amount of time.
Like...
Millions of years.
So many different like, what do you call it? Like,
civilizations,
yeah, could have lived within that time.
Yeah.
Like, hundreds.
And they could have, and they could have built not up even, and destroyed it.
Yeah, and
built
disintegrated up and in it. That time. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
so much could have happened.
Or, and that's the thing, and they could have been spread out so they didn't know something was before them, just like us.
Yeah.
And then AI or whatever comes and destroys everything, and then we start again in 10,000 years.
Yeah.
And that could be our, like, cycle.
Yeah, but obviously now more of the planet is populated due to population growth. But back then, that could have been a massive population. They might have been overpopulated back then.
Mm-hmm. Or they could have
literally been... Because that might have been a massive growth. You don't
just
know
just smaller, like much smaller. Yeah. And then because they're so small, then that's how, like, it was easy enough to cover over.
Yeah.
But they could have had technology and shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But anyway, another conspiracy theory, because we're just making up our own at the moment. Literally our lives.
No evidence.
Another conspiracy theory is to do with the ley lines and it being at the centre of a network, is that it's a cosmic portal with, like, so some people either think that it leads to dimensions or other realities, or that aliens travel through it, like a portal, but that one's a bit far-fetched, like... Yeah. But also, it's far-fetched to think that it's a portal, but that's because I don't believe that, like, there's any portals on our planet. I think black holes are probably portals, but they're really hard to access for us.
Or live through.
Yeah, well, exactly. Oh, and a reason people think this is, it says that Stonehenge is a sound resonator. When sound is played at the right frequency, in the right placement, it is supposed to have an effect, or it,
yeah,
the sound bounces off all the rocks properly or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe this, if the sound is put in the right thing, it makes a portal and aliens are able to harness that frequency. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're seen around the area.
That ties into one of the sort of theories of what Stonehenge was that I saw as well, that it was a concert hall. Because according to some, it says that, like, no literally evidence, but the shapes and sizes of the rocks make for excellent acoustics, enhancing and amplifying the sounds of instruments and voices, and even creating some odd audio illusions, all of which could have been used in celebrations or rituals.
Oh, so similar. Only mine creates portals and yours is just for entertainment.
I can't remember if I've written it on there, but it's something I saw, and it's like, it could have been, like, such a place where when the monuments were built, that if you was playing sound in there and you went through it, it would sound completely different once you're in it.
Yeah.
Like, the odd thing. So people could be like, this is crazy, like...
Yeah.
And if you have no technology and you hear this weird different sound just by walking through these stones, you're going to think that's something. Like, I don't know. Or not. Oh, I've literally written it here, sorry. After 2012, in a Stonehenge acoustics study from university researcher, that ancient people would have perceived the sound environment around them changing in some way as they entered Stonehenge, experienced a similar odd sensation that we do today when entering cathedrals.
Yeah. Another thing, it's not really a theory, I think I put it in the wrong section, is over time, obviously, people reconstructed and, like, fixed the rocks because they were falling apart and deteriorating, and, like, restoring them, and basically over time some of the rocks have moved naturally and fallen, and it says, like, maybe people don't really know what they were used for, because after reconstruction and restoration and just over time when things have moved, we can't tell the exact position they were meant to be at. So people were like, well, maybe it was a calendar and the shadows created this calendar, and we can't tell what that calendar was meant to show because the rocks aren't in the...
different.
Yeah. So now we're like, oh, the shadows obviously don't make sense. Or they were like, maybe it's another information source. It could be astrological. It could be like the code to the universe. Like, it could literally be anything. They basically just said,
yeah,
we don't know what information it was used for. It could have been
information. Because you showed me a picture a minute ago of what it
could have looked like,
or what we think it would have looked like, and it could have looked completely different to that.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then, so in the mid to the early 1900s, there was restoration projects for crumbling rocks. some had fallen. And basically, because there was not much publicity before that time about, like, Stonehenge, not many people knew about Stonehenge, not people had visited it. Like, it was, like, really on the down low, I'd say. So some people think that this during this time, they were actually constructing Stonehenge. Because there's not enough people that saw Stonehenge properly before it. And there was no evidence or pictures to prove Stonehenge was from 5,000 years ago. They basically think that they either constructed it or the government was trying to edit them in some way for some reason, maybe to harness energy. So, like, one of the conspiracy theories, is the government went in, they, like, tried to restore them to maybe access this energy. So maybe they thought, oh, that must be what it's for. It's on all these ley lines. They went in and they changed the way the rocks looked because not many people had seen, how the rocks looked before that.
Mm.
Obviously, because it wasn't open to the public and the public didn't really visit it. So maybe,
So what, like, the rocks weren't even there to begin with?
So some people think that, but I think that's a bit far-fetched. I think the government, the rocks were there, and the government figured out what they were used for, but obviously, say the power, because they were formed in a different way or they'd moved, the government were like, oh, we need to figure out the way to get this energy back, because back then they were used as this high technology.
Well, that's what people think.
If it's that conspiracy theory, they think the government was like, they figured out what it was used for and they went in as a restoration project to try reuse the energy or the technology that was used before.
Moved four times or whatever before. So, they could have went in, moved it 10 times, and now it's in a completely different thing to what it was.
But it could be them trying to re-access this technology.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good one because the government always does dodgy stuff. You've got a Noah's Flood conspiracy theory here, but we kind of talked about that.
Oh, that one, There's a 12th century illustration. The oldest known depiction of Stonehenge was found in a copy of medieval history text, Brut. I don't know what that means. From the 1100s, and it's a giant...
That's the name of the text.
Yeah, I know, but obviously, I don't know. Yeah. A giant is shown helping Merlin construct a monument.
Of course.
In the 12th century.
You can't even tell that Stonehenge, I want to say. That could be any monument.
Yeah.
In this picture, it's
But then just... again, it kind of does look like it.
Yeah, but they could be pillars, and he could be putting the fucking ceiling on it.
Maybe. But,
This picture's
no, but I'm pretty. I don't know. Maybe they actually said its name or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, these giants were supposedly called the Nephilim, a race of giants, and were almost totally wiped out in Noah's flood. But
almost totally or reconstruct it.
Used their greater height and strength to help build Stonehenge.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Do you believe in giants? Do you believe giants were a thing?
I believe people were a lot taller than they were, and there might have been species or races of, like, different monkeys, different humans-looking things, what were really tall.
Yeah.
So we could have been, like, 7, 8 foot, stuff like that.
Well, I think that there could have just been... races of humans that were really short and races of humans that are like our height, maybe a bit taller, like 6-7 foot,
and
they just seem like giants to the small ones because there's more.
But we were the ones what like wiped out the others, or the others didn't last.
Yeah, because we've grown over time, haven't we?
I don't mean that. I just mean that obviously there is some midgets around, but I mean like, there's not a race of fucking short people.
No, I know. I'm race just of saying. Tall people. Evolution over time, we just all become the same height. I don't know how much evolution can change.
Well, it could have been like just short people, just tall people, and then they're like, oh, I'm really attracted to short people, I'm really attracted to tall
people.
And
then we were born. Yes, you figured it out. Yeah. That is it.
And then tall people having sex with taller people just didn't happen.
It's just too difficult.
But yeah.
No, it was like at first it was racist and or not racist, but like it was against the what's it called?
politics, norms.
Against the norms, yeah, against the values. And then all of a sudden it became more normal for a tall person and a small person. Oh, and now people are always like, oh, I can't be with them, they're shorter than me. Like, girls are always like, oh, I can't be with guys shorter than me. And that could come from the taller giant men.
Yeah,
it
could
and
be
the...
a mindset from...
Oh my god, figured it out.
Conspiracy.
Is that where it is? But, yeah. Oh, you got the concert hall one. Is there any others? Because I've done
one. What was the one?
Oh, I have got one.
What?
This is just like, I think one person had this theory. I found it somewhere. I was probably on like page 8 of Google. I'm not kidding. Because I was just like, oh, I wonder what. So someone said Stonehenge was a team building exercise.
Oh yeah, no, according
to I didn't. According to the University College London, the beginning of the site's construction coincides with a time of increased unity among the Neolithic people of Britain, perhaps inspired by the natural flow of the landscape. And it seems to connect the summer solstice sunrise with winter solstice sunset. Ancient people may have banded together to build the monument. Stonehenge itself was a massive undertaking, required the labour of thousands to move the stones as far as West Wales. West, north, east, south, west. Oh, so it was far Wales.
Mm-hmm.
As far as West Wales, shaping them and erecting them. Just the work itself requiring everything, literally everyone literally to pull together. Would have been an act of unification. So they just said, basically, it's a team building exercise, and they were just like, oh, let's see how we can unite people. Let's get them to move stones across. Yeah.
To tie in with the whole solstice thing, or, like, the seasons, because obviously that was, like, a big thing back in the day, like, all the seasons and stuff. And we can do a podcast on, like, Jesus and...
Okay, yeah.
Horus and shit like that, but, yeah. yeah, radio... carbon dating on animal remains found near Stonehenge revealed that pigs were slaughtered either in December or January every year, suggesting an annual ritual around the time of the equinox.
Yeah, like the summer solstice. The longest day of the year is the equinox, isn't it?
Something like that.
So, like, what did we watch? We watched a documentary and there's loads of animal graves.
That's what we're talking about.
Specifically about Stonehenge, but there's loads of animal remains, and they think that and loads of human remains as well, and they think basically it was like a massive feast. People would go there to have a massive feast.
Yeah, I saw that one as well. Like it was a hunting thing where like people would come, blah blah, feast and eat all the animals, hunt and stuff like that, and then go away for the year, come back.
Because it would be mass burials of animals.
Lads' holiday, yeah.
Yeah, so they'd probably just leave all these animal bones in a pile, and over time they just went into the ground because they weren't found that deep into the ground.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, but there was also human remains,
I can't remember.
That's why they did the experiment with the pig on the fire. And they think they burned people as a ritual at the summer solstice.
I don't know.
I can't remember what the documentary's called. We'll find out for you because it was really interesting, actually. Yeah.
Also, in 2003, a researcher at the University of Bath, Columbia, said that Stonehenge was, in fact, an ancient sex symbol constructed to look like a female sex organ.
Yeah, that's so random.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
That person's clearly obsessed with sex symbols, and they looked at it and they were like, you know what that looks like?
A circle.
That circle looks like a vagina.
Yep.
That's what they thought.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, apart from all the stuff we've actually looked at, what do you think happened?
Me?
Yeah, or like, why do you think it was a thing from all the stuff we've
looked at? From the stuff we looked at, I just love the government one. Like, the government realised that it was used for high technology 10,000 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we need to re-harness this. And then they go in, and because no one really knows of it, they're just able to try to harness the power. I don't think they ever did, though, because I don't think they'd be letting so many people visit it.
Yeah.
It'd definitely be very Area 51-esque if they didn't know how to harness power from it.
Yeah.
Unless they just set it up to kind of get it to harness energy, and then they knew that if they left that aliens would come or something.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
And that's why aliens and UFOs are always... Not aliens, but UFOs sightings are seen around.
Like, the stones are actually really heavy, so like...
It's just far to carry them from Wales.
No, but it's not even that. It's getting them on top of each other as well. Like, it would have taken a lot to get 25-ton... thing on top of two other 25-ton
Yeah, really tall
things,
as well.
Really tall. But I'm not too sure what I think about it, to be honest.
That's why, like, ancient alien theory. Ancient alien theory. Blah, blah, blah. That's all I talk about. Oh, we got watching Ancient Aliens tonight.
Okay.
Ancient alien theory would say that, yeah, the aliens helped them with the technology to help them build such a thing. Or they would help them. Do you get what I mean? So, because a lot of these really old constructions are made from such... They're made in a way to last. And they're made from such heavy materials that would have took... years and years to carry, years and years to make,
not this one specifically, but...
Yeah, like loads, like the ancient pyramids, like Machu Picchu, like loads of stuff. Because at half the time, the bricks come from so far away, and you're like, oh my God, like... Because if we're told it's true that they didn't have all this technology, it would have been exhausting. Like, I'm not saying they couldn't have done it, I'm not saying it was impossible, but it would have been exhausting.
That's why I would, like, love to go back in time.
To see how,
like,
yeah, they were
and
doing
just,
it.
Like... simple stuff, just like, yeah, go back to when, like, Stonehenge was built. Oh, was it actually in a circle or blah blah? Oh, who's putting that on top? Oh, it's a fucking giant. Like, he's just literally picking up a brick with his mate and putting it on top, and they're playing Lego or something like that. And then
I'd
we
love
think
to
it's
know how, just how they even put that rock on top, because it's very tall. It's taller than a human being.
Yeah, it's. I'm pretty sure it's quite tall.
It's like four human beings, I think.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. But the thing is, it's like...
Well, I think this is a human being over here.
If it was giants... The thing is, we could always be talking about, like, oh, what does this mean? What does that mean? But what if it didn't mean anything? Do you know what I mean? Like, what if it actually didn't mean one thing? And it was... It, say, if giants did exist. Yeah, giants is playing around with a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
Like... That's the thing. Is stuff we do now going to be in the future like, oh, what is that? Like,
yeah.
Because I saw a thing on Reddit the other day. It was like a Pokemon
like
card.
Three times the height of Obama, maybe four. Obama's quite tall.
If you said Obama, I was thinking... What?
Obama. Look.
Yeah. But, yeah, I saw this thing. It's a funny thing. It was like a Pokemon card. They made, like, limited edition, like, gold metal ones or something like that. Yeah. Not actual gold. But someone found it in... when mining something, and like, what if that was found in 1,000 years? People would be like, oh my God, did these animals exist? Like,
yeah,
what is all this text on it and stuff like that? Like, because someone put in the comments, like, oh, you've just like ruined someone finding it and being like mind blown in 1,000 years. But I don't know, like, what if everything what goes on is just, or like people just trying to think, oh, what if we do this, and people would be so like baffled in the future. Do you not think?
Yeah, I think that, because they'll be so confused, but obviously because
like,
we don't know what it's used for and how it was made, we are confused.
Yeah, but like just for fun as well, they could be like, oh, let's build this. Like me and you could literally go in the garden, like, not that we have garden, but go somewhere, dig like quite deep, put some random shit in there, and then
and
like people will dig it up and be like, what the fuck is that? Like,
no, it's like time capsules.
Did
people
they...
put all sorts down there, and imagine in like 1,000 years, if someone's got to dig it up, and in 1,000 years someone finds it while like building a house or something.
Yeah. Like, what are these weird little pods? Do they contain souls? Like, are these burials?
Is this
souls?
What is this communication device? I'm guessing like it's a mobile phone, and they're like, what is this?
And it's like a keychain. It's like, where did they put this? Like. I don't know. It's
just
funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
TV slash movie review. We actually haven't got one this week. Sorry, guys. It's been a tough week.
Down.
Exam week and stuff like that. We are going to change it to movie and TV review because we don't watch enough movies.
We do watch movies, but it's been bad at the moment. Like, we watch more TV than movies at the
moment. And it's
going to
be bad for the next couple of weeks as well, because we're going away and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll make a new intro.
It'll be TV and movies.
TV.
Don't trick people into thinking we're doing it now.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we're going to...
It's a bit early for a book review.
I know, but we can talk a bit after about something.
No,
it's not that earliest, is it?
So, chapter four of Flora Banks.
Flora Banks. So, yeah, like I've done before, I've written down sort of the outline. What?
What's doing? We We have an intro song.
Well, you never said anything.
I was just saying, chapter 4 of Flora Banks, and then you went on to talk about it.
Hey, are you ready, guys?
This is a book review, a book that is read by two, a review that is made for you. Why not read along to book review.
Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Charlie, for doing that perfectly. Thank you. Okay.
I just think it's so funny. I just think that's, it's weird hearing your own voice, like when I hear my voice, because like I don't listen back to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was backwards. I don't listen to the podcast back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, when I went to America when I was younger, went Disneyland, we took like a video camera and stuff like that, and we recorded some bits, and I absolutely hated my voice. Like, when we watched it back, it was so high pitched and stuff like that.
Your voice is, I'm joking.
No, not that I like my voice now, but like, I just watched back, and I was like, oh my god, that's so embarrassing. I need to show you those videos as well.
Yeah, we always say this when we go home.
We always say this, but my family do not give a flip. Great, thanks. Okay,
no,
chapter 4, it starts off, it picks up where it's left off, obviously.
What did you just say?
What?
It picks up where it left off. It sounded like you said, in Pizza Hut, where we left off. Yeah. I don't know if that's just me thinking about pizza.
Oh, we've already had dinner tonight, so...
Oh, I don't want pizza.
Anyways, yeah, so it picks up... Flora's parents are obviously away to see her brother, Isaac, because he's ill in France. Quick thing, Flora has, like, amnesia. She's got one memory of her kissing a boy, and that's the only memory she's got since she was 10.
Catch up on the rest of our podcast tomorrow.
Done. Yeah. So, yeah, her parents are home on Saturday. She calls up the taxi service again and was like, what day is it? And he's like, Saturday. And they're back at Saturday evening. So she's, like, cleaning the house, all this shit, making it look good. She throws away all the meals she didn't eat because, like, she didn't eat for, like, 4 days somehow. And she's not dead. And then she's like, oh, maybe I should get out of the house, like it's been literally forever. So she takes a walk into town, and
yeah, she was like, I'll get some bread and milk.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'll get milk because what, you go to the shop?
That seems like, and then she tries to get wine, but she clearly don't know how old you gotta be, because she takes to the counter and they say like, you're only 17, yeah. And she's like, oh, I can't buy wine because I'm 17.
Chocolate instead.
But like, before she buys it, she looks down at her dress and she's wearing like a child's dress, and she's like, I look like a child, but apparently I'm 17. But she's like, yeah, so she like buys it even though she feels like she's a child, but she's not.
And then like, people have been like smiling to her around because it's quite a small town, I believe. So she's like, oh, I'll just have a walk in town. She's like, oh, why are these, I look like such a child. And she's looking at all these like women walking down the street. She's like, oh, they look so much better than me. They're wearing this, that, or whatever. And she's like, oh, I'll go into a shop and... like,
she sees this
clothes.
Woman wearing a fur jacket, and it's really warm out, and she sees it and she goes into this secondhand shop, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And she sees a massive fur jacket and she wants it. Because this woman was wearing a fur jacket, and that's what she thinks a woman wear now.
Yeah.
In the middle of summer.
So yeah, she buys the jacket.
Yeah, she gives it to the woman, and she says, how much is it? And the woman says, how much did it sell on the tag?
Yeah, that's just like...
She checks the tag, it's 35, and she's like, can I have it for any less? And she's like,
well, it's summer.
Can have it for 30. And so she gives her £30. I thought it was so funny, that whole bit. I was just like, oh my
God. I don't think it's that funny, though. And then, she walks out of the shop, and then she finds a map in her pocket, and it says, like, home on it with a little direction, and it says Drake,
the guy she kissed,
and just on the map. So she goes to this address, and it's his uncle and aunt's house.
Yeah.
And is Drake there? And he's like, oh no, so I was like, I don't know. And she's there to pick up his stuff, basically, but she didn't know she was there to pick up his stuff.
No, so I don't think she was meant to be. I think...
yeah, obviously not.
Her friend, who's not her friend anymore, was meant to be, like, Paige. But they just let her in, and she's, like, taking all his stuff. She puts, like, his, like, T-shirt in her bag. She, like, takes all his stones and his shells. Such insignificant things, like, things a child would take. And She loses her memory again, didn't she, basically?
Oh, wait, before we go on to that, I thought it was hilarious, because she knocks on the door, and she's like, she's like, oh, Drake has hair and stuff like that. This guy does not have hair. He looks around 30 years older than Drake. If he was 30 years younger, he'd kind of look like Drake. And she's like, and then she looks down, she's like, oh, I just had to check I'm not 30 years old. I was like, imagine, like...
Wait, I didn't see this.
Page 74, 75, bottom. But, yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. I was like, she had to check that she wasn't, like, just aged 30 years.
Just time travel.
No, but then again, I thought, oh, that's well sad, because people with, like, what is it, dementia and stuff like that, literally their memory's gone, so they... Yeah. Might think they're this age and then 1 second.
Oh my god, it's so funny because she's like, I look down at myself to check if I'm still 17. It's hard to tell from my clothes.
Yeah. But I don't know, I just thought that was quite
funny. Yeah, I did read this. I leaned slightly sideways to check at my, look at myself in the bay window.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
That's crazy. Imagine if, like, just skip 30 years. It's like, oh my god, that is Drake.
Yeah, so she goes in, goes to Drake's room, takes his t-shirts, his shells, his
She's stones. Really creepy about it, though.
She is! She's like smelling these t-shirts.
She's like, oh, this is the t-shirt Drake wore when he kissed me, and then she's like, oh, let me smell the rest of them as well.
Like, what? That's what I mean, she's such a child about it. But then,
What?
And then she basically is remembering the kiss because she's smelling these things. It's reminding her, and then because she's remembering that, she forgets what she's doing.
Yeah.
So basically, she looks at the window and she's like, "This isn't Penzance where they live."
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was called like Penance or something.
Penzance.
Okay. Yeah.
Penzance. Yeah. So she's like, "This isn't where I live," and then she forgot basically that she looked at a map to get there, and she's like, if I'm in Drake's house and this is Drake's t-shirt and Drake's in in the Arctic or wherever he is,
yeah,
then so, I must be.
Yeah, she's like, I'm in a cold place, but it doesn't look cold or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. Doesn't that mean I'm in a cold place? And then she says, like, where he is in and the Arctic, and I was like, this doesn't look cold.
Yeah, and then the woman, the aunt, comes in. She's like, "You okay?" And then she's like, "I have no clue where I am." I'm fine.
Yeah, literally. She's like, "I want to ask what country I'm in, where my parents are, what's happening, and how I can get home." Yes, I say, "I'm fine, thanks. I think I need to go."
Yeah.
So, and the aunt knows that she hasn't got a memory.
Yeah.
Because she's like, as soon as she sees her, she's like, oh, blah, 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 Drake's aunt. Oh, and he's Drake's uncle. He obviously forgot to remind you.
Yeah.
So she, that was funny. Yeah.
But they're kind of dicks.
I don't think so.
I don't know, we're just like, when he was like, oh, picking up Drake's junk, like. Calm down, like.
I think he don't like Drake.
Yeah.
I think there's clues that going on there, but the aunt seemed lovely.
Oh, okay.
She's like, pick up Drake's stuff, you know, boys. If he was a girl, he'd do a better job like we do.
No, I was like, okay, not.
So she was just like writing it off, like, oh, it's fine, he's just a teenage boy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's basically it, to be honest. Very short chapter, like, do you know what's three times weird? Shorter than normal.
I find that this book, like, it has such humorous parts. Obviously, it's such, like, a serious storyline. Not serious, but, like, it's something that someone in the world is probably going through, but they make such light of the situation, so you don't feel bad.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to just read it in one day and just do that, but we'll eventually get through it. I'm hoping there's just like an amazing ending.
What would be good is after exams, if we just finish it in that week, and the next podcast will be us like, by the way, we finished the book.
Yeah, but then it's like, if someone is actually watching,
reading along, then, I mean, not watching.
Yeah, but like,
reading.
Listening was like, oh, well, next week they're going to have another part then.
Yeah. Yeah, if we want to read more in a week, we'll hopefully tell you. Yeah,
do a couple of, or maybe do a couple of chapters in a week, because literally...
This chapter was really short.
We're still like...
Yeah, we could have read two. But like, I feel like if we're going to read extra, we might say in the podcast. So like, the next chapter is quite short. Let's see the chapter after that. And then we can say whether we're gonna. Should we read two chapters next time?
We'll see.
Well, we need to tell them so in case they read along. It's only 10 pages.
Yeah, but we've got a lot to do this weekend. I've got exam Monday. So one day less.
Yeah, we'll see. One chapter.
We'll just do one chapter, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, how's it going, guys? What
have you been up to? So, yeah, this is the part of the podcast where we just chat shit. Oh, yeah, something I wrote down, because I'm listening to another podcast at the moment. They're talking about, like, placebo effect, because, well, another thing they're saying was, like, cocaine or whatever, is you've got all this stuff in your body already. So it's like, if you have cocaine, it just triggers that stuff in your brain. It's not like you're putting something, well, technically you are, but it's not like you're putting something in your body that does something. It's like, you're putting it and then it goes to your brain and then it just triggers all this shit. Oh. So they're saying a study was done where if you, like, kind of water it down, people still get the same effect,
but hangover.
Same high, same low, da da da, because it's triggering the same stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
What's crazy?
It's just a chemical in it that's triggering a part of your brain to make you like hallucinate and stuff. Whatever. I don't know what it's like to be on cocaine.
To get the same feeling, sort of thing.
That's crazy.
But another thing I thought was not cool, I don't know, was like the placebo effect. There's also something called nocebo effect, whereas you get the side effects of a placebo. So if you take a tablet what does nothing, but on the box it says nausea, then you actually start feeling nauseous. And they're saying like, if you like fake going ill to work or to school,
you actually start to
then you'll start to feel ill. And I was like, literally every time I go to work, well, for like ages it happened, I was like, I would say I feel ill because I don't want to go to work. I'll be at work and I want to go home early, so I say I feel ill, but I would actually start feeling ill, like sick.
Yeah, or you'd be like, oh, I wish I could go in sick, I wish I was ill or whatever. Yeah. And then because you want to be ill so bad, you start feeling it.
And then like after half an hour it's gone, because obviously I'm not thinking about feeling ill the whole time.
Yeah, because you've forgotten.
But yeah, I just thought that's a weird
thing. What I feel like when I get an allergy, because I'm like allergic to I don't know what. When I get an allergy, I have a tablet, but the whole time I remember I'm allergic or I'm having an allergy, which now I've started talking about, I feel like I'm getting.
No, but I feel like that's with you and everything you like.
No, definitely.
Oh, yeah, this. And my brain. Like, no, it's this. Oh my God, it's affecting me right now. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, but like, as soon as I start having the effects of an allergy, it's like, if I forget about it, it goes.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're definitely like that, though.
But like, what?
With loads of other stuff.
When I take a tablet for the first time, and it's something that I've never taken, it wouldn't happen to a painkiller like ibuprofen or anything, I will always read the side effects, because like, I want to know if I'm having a side effect of that thing. And if it's not a side effect, I'm having that problem. I'm like, oh, what is giving me this problem? I'm just a problem solver. But like, I always get a side effect. I've never taken a tablet and not got a side effect. But it's always because I read the side effects.
I don't know.
Obviously, not ones that I take all the time, but when I take a tablet for the first time.
Yeah.
Obviously, I get side effects anyway. Like, certain things, like if I was to change my pill, I'd get side effects. But that's just because you're actually changing your hormone balance.
Yeah.
But like, that it's natural to get side effects. But like, if I was to take a travel sickness tablet for the first time and I've never tried that brand or I've never tried that exact thing, I would read the side effects because I want to know if I'm going to have one or what if I have one, what it is. But
yeah,
I would probably get a side effect.
I don't know, it's just like the whole placebo thing is like,
but then I could easily actually be getting a side effect.
Like, what if a travel sickness tablet literally is not doing anything? They just sell it as a travel sickness tablet. Obviously it does do stuff, it's got literally stuff in it, but I just mean, what if it's just like a bit of powder crushed up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it's a this. And the thing is, they've done, like, people, they've obviously done tests before. Imagine being that person, that would be so embarrassing, like, antidepressant tablet or something like that. And it's like,
they've tested on depression and anxiety.
I know, I'm saying they've done it on loads of stuff, and it's like, oh, here, take this tablet that will cause this. And it's like, oh shit, it actually does. And then it's like, huh?
Carry on quickly.
And then it's like, I don't know what I was saying now.
Well, yeah, no, because it would be crazy if you had anxiety or depression, which is a mental problem. No, which is a mental problem, and they give you something that mentally changes you, because then you're not actually taking the chemicals to fix it. Because so many people get hooked on, like, antidepressants and stuff. Anyway, okay. That was a cool story. That was a good time.
Five, four, three, two, one. Bye. See